Hey everyone, and welcome to the Surviving Mold podcast, where illness is defeated and lives are restored. Today we're talking about removing mold from your home. Do you believe that mold is an issue? Are you trying to remediate your home from mold? Chances are, if you don't do it the right way, if you don't follow the system and the formula, you could be making matters much worse. That's why today we have Mr. Larry Schwartz on the show, who's going to tell us just how we can test our homes and the proper ways of testing them to ensure that we have good remediation. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you. So, Larry, where are you from?
Grew up in St. Louis, but reside for many years in the suburban Chicagoland area.
Awesome, awesome. So what is it exactly that you do?
Well, I always tell people that ask, it's complicated.
It's complicated? Is that your relationship status in work?
Complicated? Some might call me an environmental engineer, an industrial hygienist, an indoor environmental professional, but it covers a lot of bases. It covers building science. It covers the science of water damage and microbial growth. It covers understanding enough of the medical symptoms to know what to provide to a client's physician that's going to be helpful based on their environment.
So you're like the intermediary where if someone goes to their doctor, they realize that biotoxin illness is an issue, and then they say, you need to have your home checked out, call Larry.
Exactly.
That is awesome. So you're like the mad scientist / doctor, but not really a doctor.
Right.
I love it. I love it. Well, luckily, Frankenstein will be helping us remove mold from our home. So help me understand here, because there are a lot of tests on the internet to quote-unquote test your home for mold. Are these tests accurate, or are we looking for a specific test to really kind of get the right information from our home?
I'm going to answer that question in not totally a roundabout way, but I'm going to answer it in this way. 99% of patients, doctors, remediators, experts operate on what I call the traditional paradigm. And the kind of testing they do are spore trap air test, tape lifts, wipes, and these things don't tell us all you need to know properly for people that have an inflammatory illness. And the symptoms typically and traditional are upper respiratory issues, allergy, exacerbation of asthma. You get rid of the mold or treat it and the symptoms go away. And on the medical side, an inflammatory paradigm separate from traditional, that's not the case. A patient may have those traditional symptoms, but they may also have inflammatory symptoms. And by those, what we're talking about are where the body doesn't get rid of cytokines and inflammation in a fast, efficient manner. There are up to 37 known symptoms that may occur in clusters that are different from the symptoms from allergy, asthma, irritation of upper respiratory. And the testing is different. The remediation in the home is different, and these are topics that I want to get into.
So really what you're saying is that each situation is unique, almost.
Yes.
So the long and the short answer is those Amazon tests probably are not going to help us.
Correct. They absolutely are not going to be the test.
That was a political answer. I mean, maybe you should go into politics. That was pretty good.
Sounds good. No, thanks. I've had politics too much.
So what is the right... Okay, let's take... in general, since we can't really say that there's one test for everybody, what would you recommend?
Okay, if the diagnosed or perceived illness by a physician is in an inflammatory paradigm, such as a patient might have or been diagnosed with what's called CIRS, CIRS, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, Lyme disease, several other type of diseases that may trigger this inflammatory response where the body doesn't get rid of inflammagens fast enough. There's one type of testing. And that type, there is a kind of universal test, but it has to be done in the right levels of the home and the right places to have good, useful meaning. And that's a dust collection that goes through a process called mold-specific quantitative polymerase chain reaction, and that's a mouthful.
I can say that five times fast.
An abbreviated MSQPCR. And that tells us concentrations of specific mold species that we have ways of an algorithm to calculate a score that tells us if that home is safe or not for these patients for their meds to work right and reduce symptoms. And if it's not, there are treatment options we recommend for a special kind of remediation, which is different than traditional, called small particle cleaning that removes contaminants from surfaces of the structure, floors, walls, content, so that the home is safe.
Wow. I have so many questions right now because I'm like, this. Okay, how many types of mold are there? I mean, it sounded just from your answer that there are a lot.
Well, here's what you need to know as a client, as a patient, that mold, I call it family and children. You hear names like Cladosporium, Stachybotrys. These are what I call the parents. The Latin term is the genus, and that's like the family name of a type of mold. And then I call the species under them the children. For example, Aspergillus has over 100 subspecies that are specific variants of Aspergillus. And you need to get to the species level to know what kind of chemicals are created during the growth of the mold that get into the air that create contaminants. You can't tell that from the genus level, and most of the traditional testing doesn't get you to the species level. So it's real important, and you need to do this right to get the help you need.
So let me ask you this. You talked about getting a dust sample, and it sounds like there are multiple tests, so we'll get to that in a second. But what type of dust sample is going to provide the best results? Because, I mean, you could have dust from your dog. You could have dust in a corner on the crown molding. What are we looking for?
Okay, I'm going to answer that, but I'm going to back up a second. You need to know this. When you have water damage on building material, primarily cellulose, beside mold, there's a total of 30 different kind of biological life forms that can grow. Mold is predominant. And when these things grow, it's like a microscopic law of the jungle because these species fight for domination microscopically with their neighbors. And to do so, they create chemicals that are very strong and powerful that can attack and kill their neighbors and also do defensive things. And when these chemicals are disturbed and get in the air along with what we call ECM, extracellular material, they get out into the air and attach to dust, they attach to content, they attach to structure. And that's no longer mold, they're dried chemicals. And when those things later, even if it's years later, get disturbed on surfaces and get in the air, that's what affects inflammatory patients.
Wow, so there is a microscopic war being waged in my home that is affecting me.
maybe.
Wow, okay. So how do we take the spear and kill this thing so that we can live in a safe home? Because as we get further in this conversation, I'm getting more and more fearful as we go.
So we'll simplify it. So the reason we do this dust collection, and I'll talk about where it should be done, and it should be done with certain kind of materials to collect dust. And some methods use like a vacuum cassette to take dust out of carpeting, for example. But depending on the makeup of the home, how many levels, whether it has a basement or not, the deal is that the dust has these dried chemicals and contaminants on them that get analyzed at the lab from current or prior water damage.
Gotcha.
Okay. And
is there just one type of test?
It's one type of sample, but it can be processed for results in a couple different ways. One is called, you may have heard the term ERMI, E-R-M-I.
I have heard that, yes.
Stands for Environmental Residential Moldiness Index. When that was developed by a PhD, Dr. Vesper at the EPA 18, 19 years ago, it was designed not for medical, but a method of assessing relative differences of moldiness in homes.
Wow.
And it outlines 36 specific mold species and concentrations of them on the dust. And there's two categories. Category one outlines the type of mold species more common with water damage on building materials. And category two are more common household mold species. And through some mathematical manipulations to make the numbers more even and not to bore you, they convert these concentration numbers that could be anything from non-detected to 10,000 units to smaller numbers by taking the logarithm. So I'm not going to make you mathematicians or bore you.
I appreciate that.
But they add the logs of category one type and category two type, subtract one from the other, and that's called an ERMI score. And then the physicians found a correlation of patient outcomes with medications to get inflammagens out of the body, that if that ERMI score were less than or equal to 2.0, there were better patient outcomes. And the higher the score, the worse the outcomes.
Wow. So a direct correlation on the environment that we're in to the severity of the condition.
Correct.
Wow.
Now, Dr. Shoemaker, Richie Shoemaker, who's here at the conference and is really kind of like the grandfather of knowledge of discovering this illness syndrome and a protocol to correct it, took five species of molds in this category one of the ERMI profile, and he picked out the five species that create mycotoxin chemicals that are created by the mold species that create the most problem for patients. And then based on those scores in that ERMI profile, he has an algorithm to create another score called a HERTSMI score. Not hurts me like it hurts you, but it's HERTSMI. It's a medical acronym. But it's kind of ironic that it's called hurts me.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is ironic. So there's the ERMIS test and the HERTSMI test.
But they're collected the same way. And I need to tell you that Dr. Shoemaker and a lab colleague in Australia, Mr. David Lark, studied results of 822 some patients that had this medical condition, were treated outside of their homes, and had them re-enter their homes, and compared relapse rates with those HERTSMI scores and ERMI scores. For example, they found if that HERTSMI score were 0 through 10, relapse rates on the average were less than 2%. Between 11 and 15, the relapse rates on the average were in the mid-40%. And over 15 were greater than 90%. But it's not like at those points of 10 and 15, there's sudden jumps. There's obviously some kind of a growth curve.
It's not a linear regression.
Right. Mm. So people like me, when we go in and scope out a home and look for current or past water damage, how to correct it, how to remediate traditionally, and then we do this type of testing, and if those scores are out of line, we've developed a protocol called small particle cleaning on how to properly remove those contaminants from content and structure, and it might even involve having to get rid of some of your property.
So let me recap really quick for everyone who's listening. So if I want to properly test my home, we're looking at an ERMIS test or a HERTSMI test, and depends on our condition, which is better, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, once we decide, how do we figure that out? How do we know which is the correct test for us? Based off of your physician, or does someone have to come to someone like you? I mean, where does that bridge get crossed?
Well, myself and several of my colleagues have developed a system where we can help a client patient either remotely, which we call virtual consultation, or what we call a boots-on-the-ground visit. And if we do a boots-on-the-ground visit, we check out the home, for example, with an infrared imaging system, a moisture meter, a particle counter, an electromagnetic field tester. We might do volatile organic compound testing.
Hold on. You just hit a nerve with me. As someone who is a licensed pilot, and you said electromagnetic fields, does that change with mold?
No, but we found patients that have this type of inflammatory illness syndrome. Not all, but many of them get symptomized by, beside the mold water damage things, which are more predominant, but by elevated volatile organic compounds, which are carbon-based gases. By many have multiple chemical sensitivities to fragrances, cleaning products, etc. And many of them get symptomized by high electromagnetic fields.
Wow. That's fascinating.
It really is.
That's really fascinating. Okay, now another thing for the nerd in me over here. You said you use an infrared type of camera, and in one of my degrees, I learned all about sensors, SWIR, LIR, long-wave infrared, short-wave infrared, thermal infrared, understand the spectrum.
Great.
So what type of I mean, I'm just curious for me because I'm like, ooh, I get to nerd out on cameras. So now I'm curious.
I actually use some FLIR equipment. I have a couple different cameras. And the idea is you look at surfaces based on their temperature. Mm-hmm. And where there's moisture or hidden moisture, the moisture evaporates, making that surface cooler. So on the surface of a wall, for example, an exterior wall, we may see a thermal image we call a moisture anomaly that looks kind of like a dark ink blot. We like to use the black and white scale. It's a little better in building science. And based on, I've been to a couple weeks of out-of-town training and certification on use.
Did you go to the infrared academy?
You can get infrared, shadows and other kind of
reflection.
Things, easy to make mistakes in interpretation.
Totally. Especially if the camera's not calibrated, that really hurts too.
And then we try to use a moisture meter to verify those anomalies.
Wow, awesome. Okay, so we realize now two tests. There's a certain way to figure out which test is right for you. Is the Hermes test, is that available on the Surviving Mold site? I believe it is it not? Or just the dust collection?
No, actually on the Surviving Mold website, in the store, you can't order the test, but they refer you to several labs that are the best in the country, two specific labs. Mm-hmm. And you go to their website, you can order the sampling equipment, and the client would send, if it's remote, like if I do a remote, I send a questionnaire, which I get back. I may want a hand-drawn sketch of a floor plan they can take a picture and upload to me. I help the client order the test stuff. I walk them through where and how to do the test. I analyze the results and discuss it with them. If they need specific treatments to the home, I help them find the right kind of professionals trained that can do that for them.
That's really awesome. So if we wanted to reach out to you, contact you, find out the right way to do things, where would we go?
Well, you could go to my website, and that has an uptake for info. It's www.safestart, S as in Sam, A-F-E-S-T-A-R-T, I-A-Q, like stands for indoor air quality, safestartiaq.com.
Awesome. Safestartiaq.com, if you guys didn't hear that. Okay, so Hermes test. I'm still curious, though, because you said I help my clients find out where to collect these dust samples. Does it really vary that much?
It does, and here's what's really important. We don't want the results to be biased in this way. The sources of the problem may be or may have been created inside the home because of prior water damage by condensation, intrusion, etc., or the source that's causing the problem may be coming in from above or below ground outdoors. All homes have what's called negative pressure. They're always sucking air in around leaks around windows, in basements, around cold joints, pits, window wells. And I could go into, why they have negative pressure, but at this point, assume they do.
Yeah.
And soils are 25% fungi from dead and decaying material. And there's air mixed in the soils. Just like you hear of radon gas, it's in the soils. It gets sucked into the home in the same way. So what happens is there's two specific mold species that are called xerophilic. They don't require a lot of moisture to grow. They're two of the five in the Hertzme test. And they're very common in soils. So if I see, for example, in a Hertzme test in the basement or an Hermes test, that those two species are extremely elevated and two of the hydrophilic water-loving molds are very low, telling me historically on the dust there hasn't been a lot of water history on the dust. And then upstairs I find the same elevations and reductions but at a lesser degree. I conclude that a good part of the problem is stuff coming in from outdoors as opposed to being created in the home. And the correction we recommend on that is creating positive air pressure in the home that puts up a barrier and stops these outdoor contaminants from coming in, be they below or above ground. And not only that, if there were, there's a term called building envelope, which is inside your exterior walls. Mm-hmm. And if there were ever leakage around windows or doors or any mold, even dead mold in those walls, it'll prevent the suction of those also from coming into the home.
Wow.
We're learning more and more and coming up with newer solutions all the time.
And just giving me more and more questions to ask you. I'm so curious now. I'm like, well, is there a certain type of construction that I should be going for in my home? Should I be living in a dry place or a wet place? But it sounds like that doesn't matter. I mean,
to a degree it does. I gave a talk at the conference last year on to move or not to move. That is a question. And I gave a talk on if you're going to do new construction, how do you do it to make it as good as possible? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, ideally, a crawl space is a very bad idea. Some areas of the country call it pier and beam. Mm-hmm. Basements may be problematic. If you have positive air pressure, those shouldn't be a problem. But otherwise, ideally, a slab construction would be better. So in parts of the country, you know, we find, I have a colleague down in Tucson, Arizona, who does a lot of work in the Southwest. They have the same problems, and even though they don't have a lot of rain and water intrusion, they have a lot of condensation. They have the same kind of problems. They have same kind of outdoor issues, but in areas where they don't have a lot of basements, contaminants may come in from outside above ground. But all these things need to be considered. But my point in testing is, when a physician tells a patient, you know, art of this army test and do it, they need to know how to do it the right way. For example, if there is a basement, we want a separate test in the basement versus the upstairs living spaces. Wow. To help determine if there's outdoor issues coming in. And when they take the test, we don't want them taking dust around windowsills or exterior doors where there may be air leakage that may bias. We don't want dust off floors where dogs may walk and come in and out of the house and other pets as well as shoes of guests and residents. So we try guide them. I try even talk to my clients when they do the test as they walk around doing it, you know, where to go, where not to go. Like top of a ceiling fan blades are pretty good. Top edge of interior door frames are good. And you get a mixture of what I call old dust, which may have been around for years, places you don't normally clean, as well as newer dust.
Well, in my home, there's lots of places I don't normally clean, so I think I'll have a good sample set wherever I go.
I was doing testing in one home where they had a housekeeper working and cleaning the house who was thanking me for helping her do her job.
Oh, I don't think that shows well on her. Hey, well, Larry, thank you so much for coming on the show about this. I think it's so important for people to understand that you really need to test your home properly to then make further decisions on which way to go with
it. And I
got
to tell you, the decisions that have to be made are huge. They involve life-changing events, both financially, where you live, where your children go to school, what you do with your interior goods and personal possessions you own. So you really have to try get the best results you can to help make these decisions.
Yeah, no, that sounds like it. And I want to do a follow-up show with you, sir. Larry, thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Well, guys, that is going to do it for our episode today of the Surviving Mold podcast. Make sure you check out Larry's page, safestartiaq.com. Awesome. Guys, don't forget to leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. And don't be afraid to subscribe to the show. That's going to do it for us today. You're watching another awesome episode of the Surviving Mold podcast.